welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening and or good morning, wherever you may be across this great land of ours, from the island of Guam out across the international dateline, way out there, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, soon Puerto Rico as well, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the Internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning, I'm Art Bell, and I should like to welcome yet another affiliate. Let's see, who have we got here? WAJR in Morgantown, West Virginia. 1440 on the dial in Morgantown, West Virginia. Hello to Dale Miller, the GM there, and Jim Stallings, the PD. Thank you for getting us on as we continue our drive to 500. That's 500 affiliates. We're well on the way. Now, I should like to announce to radio stations, while I'm thinking and remembering it, that we began doing something about 2 weeks ago. I think it was about 2 weeks ago that all of you should know about. We began doing pre-feeds of the program so that radio stations can actually begin picking the program up at 7 o'clock Pacific time or 10 o'clock Eastern time, or adjust for time zones in between or way out there. In other words, we're beginning the show 3 hours earlier, which actually is the show from the night before, so that so many radio stations have asked for it. We've already got, I don't know how many taking it, but a bunch already taking it. So we officially began doing pre-feeds a couple weeks ago. It's been kind of a industry secret for a while. That's one way to hear more of the show a little bit earlier. So every day we pre-feed the previous day's program for 3 hours, which means that if a radio station out there has a hole they want to fill and some listeners have a show they want to hear, you can get it. You know, we're on the same satellite channel, same everything, except 3 hours earlier. So pre-feeds, folks, listeners, program directors, board ops, notes to PDs, that kind of thing, pre-feeds are available now. Popular demand and all that stuff. All right, well, do you remember I told you that this was actually some time ago now, that when I was coming back from the Radio and Records Talk Convention, that something really incredible happened? We were in between Baker, California, and Pahrump. And believe me, folks, when I tell you that is... Well, it's the desert of the sea is what it is. It's the most amazing desert that you've ever seen in your life. You know, you pass a sign that says no services for 56 miles or whatever, and they mean that. I mean, there is nothing. There is not a human being. There is nothing there. You are just driving in desert, period. You don't see, there's no homes. There are no businesses. There is nothing. It's serious Western American desert. Now, we came back from Los Angeles, drove back from Los Angeles this kind of back way, coming through this incredible country. And my wife and I were driving about, I think we were coming through this area, which is, maybe 40 or 50 miles from home, maybe a little less, at about 5:30 in the morning. It was an incredible morning last Sunday. Oh, my God, what a morning. The moon was up above the horizon. And when we were coming through this part of the desert, we've been getting a lot of rain, too damn much rain in the desert. We're not supposed to get this much rain in the desert. But when that occurs, great areas of dry lake beds fill up with water. Albeit 2 or 3 inches of water. But when I say a lot of water, I mean miles and miles and miles of water. It's awesome to see in the desert. It's just absolutely awesome. And here we are winging it along at more miles per hour than I should have been doing, no doubt, at that time of the morning. Actually, let's see, they can't get me for what I say, right? About 95 miles an hour, we're clipping along. and I'm in the Firebird Trans Am, and I look out my window to the left, and I see the most awesome thing that I've ever seen in my whole life. This moonlit desertscape with the mountains in the background and this sea of water. It's a magical scene. I'm telling you, it's an absolutely magical scene. Now, photographs never do this kind of thing justice because the eye, you know, a photograph just can't take in as much as the eye can take in. But I thought, you know, I've got a camera with me, 35 millimeter, I've got to give it a try. So I stopped the car, pulled over to the side of the road, stopped the car, and obviously it's dark, just only moonlight, and I thought, I wonder if I can open the shutter on this camera and get this shot. And, you know, it's so incredible. I mean, it's just absolutely, it stopped me, whether I was going to take a photograph or not. It was so awesome, I just stopped and went, oh my God, look at that. That, it was that kind of a shot. And so I did. I stopped the car, turned off the engine, put the camera on the hood of my car so that it would be held steady, gingerly reached over, and punched the shutter. And I did that many times, trying different angles, just hoping upon hope that maybe I'd get a usable shot. Well, today I got the photographs back. Ramona went and developed the photographs. And by God, I got a real doozy. So it's on my website right now. I'm really proud of this photograph. In the foreground, you'll see a reflection of the Trans Am's hood. And you'll actually see the clouds. And then you'll see the moon up there. And you'll see everything lit. And you'll see this desert of the sea picture. So you're seeing the front part of the bottom part of the picture is a reflection of my hood. Then you see the highway, because I was pulled over. Then you see miles of desert. Then you see miles of water. And then you see the mountains. All of this lit by the only by the moon. It is, I think, an astounding photograph. I got it back today, and I went, yay! You know, rolls and rolls of film, and you get one big money picture. Well, this was the one big money picture, and I've got it up there right now. So if you go to my website, you can see it. It's pretty awesome. It's called The Desert of the Sea. And we all know where the desert of the sea came from, right? It came out of the mouth of a babe, Maggie, the desert of the sea.
Hello, everybody. From the desert of the sea, this is Maggie. Do you want to take a ride?
The desert of the sea. And so I've got a picture of the desert of the sea on my website right now. Pretty awesome stuff, I think. Take a look and let me know what you think. All right, so anyway, I've got that out of my system. It was a magical moment. You know, it was one of those moments that in life where you just stop, and I understand the photograph doesn't do it justice, but you just look out there and you go, oh my God, I love where I live. I love the desert. It's a strange place, but if you, no matter where you are in the nation, if you take a look at this, it will at least give you some insight into this rugged, incredible country that I live in out here. Let's see. Vermont votes to ban gay marriages. Less than a year after they had approved civil unions for same-sex couples, the State House today voted to explicitly outlaw gay marriage. Earthquake in El Salvador. Two powerful earthquakes, then two smaller ones rattled quake-stricken El Salvador today, causing people to flee out into the streets. They've about had it with earthquakes. There were no immediate reports of injuries or damage. Oh, CNN tonight, by the way, reporting our spring is going to be a very violent spring weather-wise. Very violent. Duh. Anyway, they had a meteorologist on there, and they had a big story just prior to airtime, last half hour before airtime, and they went through how it's going to be such a violent spring. Well, what has the market been doing? Somebody sent me this, and I thought, right on. Dow average, 1 point on the Dow. Know this, as I point out to you what I'm about to point out. 1 point on the Dow equals $400 million. 1 point on the Dow equals $400 million. So, on Monday, we lost 450 points. On Tuesday, we gained 90 points. On Wednesday, we lost 320 points. On Thursday, we gained 55 points. Some recovery, huh? $400 million per point. I thought tonight, in what remains of this first hour, and you know we've got Evelyn Paglini coming on next hour, and she is, believe me when I tell you, that Evelyn Paglini is the real McCoy. She is a witch. And we will examine not just the dark side, although, as you well know, I lean toward an interest in the dark side of witchcraft. Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about the dark side, actually. But we're going to ask a lot about witchcraft in general. President Bush has made some statements about Wicca that would certainly lead one to believe that he'd like to see it done away with as a religion. And as you know, I'm probably an agnostic, kind of an agnostic, I don't know. However, it seems to me that the Wiccans have every bit as much right to have their religion, their belief system, as the Catholics do, or the Mormons do, or anybody else does. Just because you don't like somebody's religion is no reason to sort of declare it a non-religion, you know, like they want to take away Pluto's status as a planet, right? Or they want to take away Wicca's status as a religion. I don't think I'm going for that one. But I thought maybe this hour, I got this really cool email from somebody who concocted headlines from the year 2051. Headlines from the year 2051. And so I thought I would ask all of you to come up with a headline that you think would be in the year 2051. Now, that's an interesting year, 2051. I probably won't be here. Pretty safe bet I won't be here. Some of you will be here. Some of you will get close. And some of you can just imagine. What kind of headline could you imagine for the year 2051? Well, the person who sent me this sent a number that I kind of like. Here's one, for example. Imagine this headline. Texas executes last remaining citizen.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
Or another headline for the year 2051. It's kind of a good year to choose because in the year 2051, I think you can imagine what might be. It's not so far ahead that it escapes your projection from current trends. You know, you can project from current trends and look ahead, even if you're not going to be here, at the year 2051 and imagine what might be. Suppose by then we've made alien contact. This person says, here's the headline. Great and benevolent galactic ruler reveals that anal probes were, quote, just for fun, end quote. Or how about Baltimore Rams defeat St. Louis Ravens? Pope Phil II settles custody battle with ex-wife. DC Zoo to receive rare cow. Ooh, that's an ominous headline when you think about it. DC Zoo to accept rare cow, receive rare cow. Yeah, maybe by then they'd be like the pandas, trying to mate them to keep them alive. Hoof and mouth disease, mad cow disease. Decimated all the cows of the world sometime after 2006, and by 2051, they'll be in zoos, and we'll be trying to artificially impregnate cows so we can get more cows. Anyway, I thought if you had a headline for 2051, that might be fun this morning. Otherwise, open lines right until Evelyn Paglini in the next hour. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Chris in Fort Pierce.
Yes, Chris.
I'd just like to touch on the subject of chemtrails.
Chemtrails, all right.
Who made the statement or who has the theory that they may be aluminum particles?
Well, of course, William Thomas, but from the chemist that he talked to.
My understanding that fluoride is an aluminum particle.
Actually, you see, it's not exactly a theory. They tested some material, and that's what they found. They found seven times the amount of aluminum that should have been there. That was from rainwater. Rainwater, sir.
Are the particles small enough that they could be ingested?
Obviously, if it's in rainwater, of course you could ingest them.
In areas without municipal water supplies that are thriving with fluoride.
I don't know. The rain would fall into the municipal water supplies, right?
Yes, it would, but perhaps they're spraying in areas more that don't have municipal water supplies.
Actually, sir, if you listen carefully last night, they're spraying in all areas. I don't think we know of any area where they have not seen chemtrails. What I thought really was different last night, and which I'm willing to consider, is that we know we're in trouble with the weather. I mean, look at the CNN story, right, last night. We know we're in trouble. So that our government would be doing something about it or trying to do something about it, I think is rather logical. I mean, here we have a president who is not going to control emissions, decided to break his promise on that. And yet he knows that we've got to do something about the weather, not publicly perhaps, because then there'd be a demand to stop the use of fossil fuels. And he doesn't want to do that. He's an oil guy. I understand that. So we were talking about this last night, kind of throwing it around. If the president had one choice of a $1 billion program to try and modify the weather, take it down a couple of degrees, and hundreds of billions of dollars of economic damage on the other, what would he likely do? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good evening, Art. It's John Scottsdale. How are you?
I'm fine, John.
Sure, that's good. I wanted to tell you, pursuant to your comment about, or the headline about cows being endangered species.
D.C. Zoo to receive rare cow.
50 years hence.
Yep.
I certainly hope not. Where I should have gone the other night, and I called and they picked a bad time to tell you a good story, was that I think a lot of this stuff on TV, you know, with the hoof and mouth and mad cow disease and everything else, I really think that there's some serious problems, but I also believe that they're being overblown and made into sort of a
spread. All right, I don't know about that, partner. Listen, I was watching CNN the full half hour just to see what was going on before the show, and they were showing slaughtered animals, miles and miles and miles of slaughtered animals.
Right. Problem, reaction, solution.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's a dangerous thing to eat beef. Don't you know that? It makes you strong and smart and self-reliant.
I love beef, and I'm going to be sick. I'm going to be sick if it gets over here, if it's confirmed it's over here.
Well, I'll be out of a job.
Really?
But until then, that invitation stands, buddy.
Invitation?
That's right. Remember I said I'll buy you the best steak you've ever had in your life.
Oh, that's right. At least until then, huh?
Uh-huh.
That's right. You would be out of a job, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I just...
Hey, I got another headline for you.
Go ahead.
2051, you ready?
Yeah.
Authentic year 2000 Chad sells for $6.9 million at Southpiece.
Love it.
All right, see you later.
Take care.
Uh-huh. How about this? Nursing home lawsuit case. Clinton denies candy stripers' allegations. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, I have to turn off the radio.
Yes, you do.
Absolutely.
Mandatory thing to do when you call here.
Absolutely.
Where are you?
I'm calling from North Providence, Rhode Island.
Are you? All right. You just changed phones.
Absolutely, because you don't like radio phones, so I don't like them either.
Yours wasn't too bad as they go. Anyway, what's up?
Well, you know, I know you're doing open lines. I was on a flight from Florida up to Providence, and a craft had come alongside our aircraft.
Really?
On the way up.
Did the pilot see it?
Well, I don't know. I asked flight attendant.
Stewardess, yep. Stewardess, look at this. Oh, my God, it's on the wing.
Well, it wasn't on the wing. I'm not going to exaggerate, but it was very close to the aircraft.
Pounding on the window.
Not quite.
No, not quite, huh?
But
running parallel with your airplane, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely.
What did the stewardess say?
Well, they said it was another airplane, and I don't believe that it was in such close proximity.
Well, did it look like an airplane?
No, it didn't.
What did it look like?
It was triangular.
Well, if it was triangular, of course it didn't look like an airplane. I mean, what's the matter with that stewardess? Sheesh. Let me see. Do I have any more? Let's see. How about this? It wasn't the cigarettes. It was the ashtrays.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Of the Coast to Coast AM app is here, now available for Android as well as iPhone. For Coast Insiders, it offers the ability to download the most recent shows so you can listen to them at your leisure. The new app also has listen live and streaming features, plus recaps, contacts, and upcoming show info. Coast Insiders with Android System 4.0 and above, or iPhone. Check out our new app at the Google Play or iTunes stores, or link from the Coast website.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
Let's see. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Yeah, first of all, I had a headline kind of involving cows.
Cows, yes.
last cow put down. Whoppers no longer offered at 1999.
1999. I suppose by then they might be.
Oh, I would think so.
Fries for about $6.95.
Secondly, Art, you've done quite a bit of study revolving the pyramids.
Yes.
In fact, you're probably one of the only few people that's actually lied in the esophagus. Which I caught the picture back a couple of years ago.
You saw that photo, huh?
Oh, man. I mean, yep. How the feeling must have been inside you, you know, what went through.
You can't even imagine. It was an unusual opportunity. Because,
how you even got there with the government.
Dr. Zahi Hawass, who runs Giza with an iron fist, and baby, I mean an iron fist. Nobody gets in the way of that guy. He
actually pulled up some of the recent photos as well with Ramona standing out when you were taking the second trip down.
Yeah, he's the madman of Giza. He really runs that thing, and he let me do it. He stopped everybody and let me lie in that thing, and I felt something through my entire body. I mean, there was no question about it, through my whole
east of the Rockies, called toll-free 1-800-825-5033.
Hey, now, look, I've got to blow that away because you're not allowed to give your last name on the air.
Oh, no, that's my first name.
Your first name is two names?
No, my first name is Eric, calling out of KEX.
Oh, you said Colin.
Yeah, from Gresham.
I'm sorry.
Gresham Morgan.
I'm sorry. I thought you were saying your name was Eric Colin.
I hope not, unless it's healthy. Quite frankly, Art, what do you think, as far as I was looking through the book, Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch by J.J. Hertak, kind of making reference to, from a philosophy standpoint, of the pyramids being more of a focal point for celestial time travel, higher light beings.
It's entirely possible.
Absolutely. I mean, most things are in this world, but...
I'll tell you what we know about the pyramids. We know they're not burial places for the dead. And when we, you know, in school, remember schools? I said, well, they were tombs for the dead. No, they were not. They are not, were not, and are not. Not that at all. In fact, the rare was the person to be buried in there at all. Most of those who built it had catacombs of burial elsewhere, off from the side of Giza. I don't think we truly understand what the pyramids are for, but we know that scientifically they are fascinating. In their construction, it's impossible. In fact, even today, we could not build those pyramids. Can't be done. Dr. Hawass showed me how you might split the stones, but he had no explanation, nor does anybody else, for how they got up there. And many have tried. The Japanese had a project to show how it was done, and they failed miserably, and so has everybody else. To this very day, we couldn't duplicate it. So we have no idea what they're for. Could they be for time travel? Oh, my, yes. Of course they could. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
I doubt very much if any of us are going to be around in that year.
There is always that possibility, 2051?
Oh, it is even more clear than ever, because what I'm going to reveal to you tonight...
Uh-oh.
Are the four secrets that have been revealed to me.
By whom?
By the first one, by Mr. Michael Wells Mandeville on the polar shift,
yeah,
which is coming up.
Yes.
The second secret was revealed by Colonel Ed Daines on your program about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Major Ed Daines.
Major Ed Daines.
Details.
And when you asked him to look into the future, Mr. Ed Daines says he saw people underground.
That's right.
Now, the third
secret...
That
still is a future, though.
The third secret...
kind of a bleak
how,
one.
But... How close. The third secret was revealed by a gentleman by the name of Bill Gertz of the Washington Times and Charles Smith of software.net, who have been following what the Russians have been doing for the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, yes.
And they have been building large underground cities.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a long time.
Yes, for 200,000 to 250,000 people.
All right, let's jump to the fourth one.
The fourth one are the crop circles. And the crop circles are warnings to us as what is coming.
Environmentally.
And what continents are going to be subsiding, which are going to be lifting up.
All right, well, I'll accept all that as certainly... One reason, or four reasons, if you will, why we may not be here. But we may be here, too. I mean, history is on our side in terms of longevity. I'm not saying that civilizations have not come and gone. I'm not saying all the warning signs are there, that ours may not be gone by then. But the odds are on our side. Now, what kind of world will we have in 2051? I guess that's what we're considering with our headlines, isn't it? What kind of world will it be? Here's another one. Florida to be readmitted to Union. Plague of spotted owls threatens crops, livestock. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. It's Dan.
Oh, hi, Dan. Way out there, huh?
Way up here. I called you there last week, and I got some other things I want to say. I'll save for another call. This time I'm just wanting to make an appeal. You recall I mentioned to you that CJCH here is no longer going to be carrying you. It's going to become a 24-hour sports channel.
Yes, and
yes.
I wanted to make an appeal myself. Nobody can stand sports for 24 hours. Now, I understand that during the day, sports go on.
Yeah.
People play various sports, but in the overnight hours, the only thing they could possibly do is rehash what happened during the day.
Exactly.
Whereas they could carry us live and carry sports the rest of the time. So the appeal would be to have people call up and say, hey, we don't want it 24 hours a day. Sports are fine. Give us something else at night.
Exactly. I called the station and I complained and I got a voicemail.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get a call back. So I wanted to ask if there's any other listeners out there from the greater Halifax metro area. And I know there's a few that called because the receptionist told me there's been a few. But more should call in because we hate to lose you. It's like a bastion of freedom we're going to lose here. So
flood the radio station.
That's what I'm hoping.
With calls.
Yeah.
With calls. I take things literally sometimes. Yeah. With calls. I mean, really, it does just make common sense. Yeah. What I'm saying really does make common sense. Sports.
They're planning on changing it in April, so we don't have much time.
Really?
Yep.
All right. Well, call now, folks, in Nova Scotia. Save us. Save the program. All right. Thank you.
Sir.
Thank you very much. Okay. Take care. How much sports can anybody handle? What are they going to talk about at 2 o'clock in the morning? A hockey game? At 2 a.m.? I don't think so. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Extinguish thy radio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Reach over there and get that sucker. All right. And now tell us where you are calling from.
Just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Ah, yes.
First question I'd like to ask you,
yes.
Art.
Yes.
What frequency are you running on your ham radio?
Well, you mean where do I hang out? I'm on all kinds of, you know, I can be anywhere from 160 meters up through amateur television at...
after the show, is there something about you?
After the show, sometimes I'll show up on 3830.
3830
on 75 meters, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes.
Tried to get you last night, but I didn't hear you in there.
Well, I wasn't there last night. And even on the best of nights on 75, that's going to be a pretty long haul.
Yeah, it should be.
But we could do it.
Anyway, I have two things. First of all, you were talking about chemtrails last night.
Yes.
And considering that I am a pre-baby boomer, I can remember from when I was a child, I don't remember how young I was at the time, but...
You came from a baby deficit time, then?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay. I can remember the contrails in the air and maintaining their shape for very, very long periods of time.
Mm.
Maybe 20 kind of minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, depending on the atmosphere, that can certainly occur. It can still occur today. But chemtrails are a very different story from a white, puffy little old contrail. Very different. I mean, the sky can turn dirty, oily. You can get rainbow effects in the sky, that sort of thing, indicating there's a lot more in it than just, you know, water mist.
Yeah, well, anyway, I looked on your website and looked at the pictures that you had.
Yes.
And I couldn't determine from those pictures anything different than what I'd seen when I was younger.
Boy, I could. Now, I am a baby boomer. I was born in 45, but contrails...
No. If you were born at 45...
I'm pre-baby boom?
Yeah, unless you were born...
Well, I'm kind of on the cusp of the baby boomers. I mean, my mom was in the Marine Corps, and my dad fought the Second World War, and I ended my mom's Marine career when I was born on Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. So I was kind of like... That's kind of like on the cusp of baby boomer.
Before September of 45...
June 17th of 1945.
Yeah, you're a pre-baby boomer.
Yeah, but I'm on the cusp, though.
Yeah, you're still going to have your Social Security cut anyway. You still fall into the notch, baby.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. That's back in 1917, if you check into it.
No.
Like a two-year period back in 1917 or way back there somewhere.
Our previous president... put in a new notch baby that goes from somewhere in the early 40s up until, I think, 1965.
Well, he can kiss my Social Security card if he really did that. Because I've paid Social Security all my life, so they better not notch me. The notch referred to some people who were in Social Security, the original. I don't even want to go into the whole notch thing. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Hello, turn your radio off, please. Okay, Mr. Bell.
That's me.
I have a small prophecy to make.
A prophecy?
Yes.
You're a prophet?
No,
I guess not. You are if you're going to make a
beginner.
Prophecy. A beginner prophet. All right. What is your prophecy?
Pakistan and Sri Lanka will be the first nations to send off nuclear weapons.
Well, that's not exactly sticking your neck too far out, sir. Well, I guess the Sri Lanka part is. God, if that was true, Arthur better get out of there, huh? By the way, there's a lot of news on Arthur C. Clarke. a lot of news, and I'm kind of holding some of it back. You'll be hearing about it next week. Boy, is there a lot of news about Arthur C. Clarke. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
You were saying that you thought they had someone, or they sprayed on you at the Super Bowl?
Yes. I what I said was, I got a couple, actually quite a few emails indicating that people thought the Super Bowl was sprayed.
Well, remember they also tracked everybody? They scanned everybody going in?
Oh, yes.
It would be a heck of a daddy base.
Big brother, big time, yes.
They could keep that, even the kids. I mean,
well, they claimed that they scanned every single person who went into the Super Bowl in Tampa and tried to figure out if there were criminals in the crowd. And, you know, it's interesting. They didn't find one.
But they have a heck of a database of anybody that they did spray, if they did.
Well, they claim, you know, they destroyed that database and the photographs. Do you believe them?
No.
Yeah, me either.
Okay.
I appreciate it, sir. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm all right.
If I got Art?
What you've got is a radio on.
Hello?
Turn that off immediately. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Art?
Probably.
Hello?
Doesn't that echo in
the... Hello?
Yeah, well, wild card line, you're on the air. Hello?
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 I'd like to discuss chemtrails.
Would you now? All right. What do you want to say?
You were talking about aluminum and chemtrails.
Aluminum and chemtrails, yes.
Right. You know, Alcoa makes atomized aluminum.
Aluminum.
Right.
It's a hard word to say, aluminum.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
are you shutting down windows or just opening them?
Well, actually, I was just opening them.
Uh-huh. Well, when you get on and you get on the web, take a look at the photograph I took in the desert. It's absolutely awesome.
Yeah. I'm a truck driver.
Okay.
I have had the occasion to pull atomized aluminum out of a suburb of Chicago, going to Morton Thiokol.
Morton Thiokol was out here, well, their rocket thing was out here in the desert, the one that blew up, remember that?
Right. They have some places in Utah also.
Mm-hmm.
And atomized aluminum is used to stabilize the flame front, and it's used in the solid rocket engines
mm-hmm.
of the shuttle.
Yes.
Now, I was not aware that Hughes had a patent.
Apparently they do.
Evidently they do. But it does not surprise me that they are using atomized aluminum to, in their jet fuels, because this would stabilize the flame front for the compressors
and
turbine engines.
Well, I'm not sure. Listen, I'm not sure that they're doing it. Nobody's sure that they're doing it. It's suggested because they found rainwater. You know, unless you actually go up there into what's called a chemtrail, the only other way you can do it is the way he said he did it. That's what he said, if you recall last night, that they analyzed rainwater that came through these chemtrails, and they found, what, 7 times the amount of aluminum they should have.
Correct. But let's assume that they were using aluminum, atomized aluminum, just as Morton Thiokol did,
mm-hmm.
to stabilize the flame front on the compressors of jet engines.
Might be.
This would increase the output of the jet engine and make it more efficient.
It might.
It indeed might.
But you see, that isn't what the patent was for. The patent was for weather modification, sir.
Well,
I'm not saying that what you're suggesting about jet engines might not be correct, but the intent of the patent was weather modification, actually cool the Earth a couple of degrees by reflecting some of the sunlight. Atomized, if you'll want to put it that way, aluminum that would remain in the atmosphere for perhaps even years. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is Don from Nashville, Big 99.7
WTN.
Sports station.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to talk about the pyramids.
All right, we don't have a lot of time, so let her rip.
Okay, they had on TV that they found the burial ground off one of the pyramids, off of Tufu's.
Yes.
And they dug down and they cleared it all out and everything, and they found the stone down there that they made them out of. And let's see, they found the people that built them. And they found the whole village.
I was there, sir.
Huh?
I was there. I walked through the burial area for the people that built the pyramids. I was there.
Oh. Well, this is Art Bell, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just saying they dug up a whole city, and they even found...
Well, it's an entire... Listen, I am out of time. I'm sorry. It's an entire burial area for all the people that built the pyramids. I stood at those grave sites.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
Good morning. We're going to talk about witchcraft. So listen to me carefully. I mean real witchcraft. Some of it black witchcraft. If this kind of thing bothers you, turn the radio off. Go listen to a 24-hour sports station or something, because this will offend you. I really want to take just one more moment for those stations that are joining us at this hour to go take a look at a photograph I'm really proud of. Here's what I wrote on the website by the photograph. It says, this is a one-in-a-million picture taken early Sunday morning, March 11th, 2001, as Ramona and myself returned from the Radio and Records Talk Seminar in L.A. Yes, we'll get those photographs up, by the way, folks, eventually. It was taken between Baker, California and Pahrump, Nevada at about 5:30 a.m., in the morning. In the distance, you can see about 2 or 3 inches of water covering the desert, lit by the moon. And I'm telling you, there were hundreds or thousands of acres covered with 2 or 3 inches of water in the desert. The reflection of the clouds at the bottom of the picture that you see is my Trans Am, where I had the camera resting for a long exposure. I stopped. It took my breath away. I looked at this. I said, God, I've got to get a picture of it. It's unbelievable. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And I got the picture. It came out unbelievably. You can see the moon. You can see the clouds all lit by the moon. You can see this incredible sea in the middle of the desert. It's an amazing photograph. So if you go to my website, you just get there. You go to What's New, and you go to Photo, Art's Desert of the Sea. Tell me if that isn't a pretty cool picture. It was absolutely magical. That's what we're going to talk about here shortly, is magic. Somebody sent me this. Actually, Grace sent this. Grace says, and I thought, boy, is she right. If you have cats, you'll understand exactly what I mean. It says, Art, I don't know if anyone has ever mentioned this, but I was petting my cat the other day. She likes to have her head fully covered by your hand. A lot of cats like that, I know. And when I smoothed down her face and ears, toward the back of her head, I noticed the general face shape and structure is very similar to many depictions of gray aliens. Has anyone ever commented on this? Try this with one of your cats. One, take one hand on either side of their face, smoothing the fur and the ears back. Voila! You've got something that looks exactly like an alien. Could this be why the ancients, the Egyptians, revered and worshipped cats? Were they given to us as a reminder? Or perhaps as watchers for us?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
One more time, I'm going to warn you, if you're offended by discussions about witchcraft, go away. Here comes Dr. Evelyn Paglini, a practitioner in the occult and the supernatural with over 30 years' experience. She was tested at Duke University, FRNM, Foundation for the Research on the Nature of Man, by Dr. J.B. Ryan, Dr. Helmut, Dr. J. Levy. She is a parapsychologist, psychic doctor of divinity, founded the International Psychic Center in 1972, teacher, lecturer, consultant, spiritual warrior. Called upon as an authority on the occult and the supernatural, set a precedent in Texas, in fact, in the court system there, on a child abuse case with ritual overtones. Worked with law enforcement, on missing persons and murder cases. Many of her legendary cases were written in the country's leading news media through the pages of the New York Post, the Chicago Tribune, Fate Magazine, has appeared on ABC, CBS, NBC. Born and raised in a family of century-old occultists and practitioners of natural magic, trained in natural magic by her grandfather from the age of four. She is Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Hi there, Evelyn.
Hi, how are you, Art?
I'm great. It sure is great to have you back.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you once again on air.
Yes, indeed. All right, well, you know I have a great deal of interest in witchcraft. I've had it for a long, long time, and I have a wife who has a lot of interest in witchcraft, and so I've got a lot of things to talk to you about. But first, I know that you regard the Wiccans in a sort of a different way. From your point of view as a witch, what is the Wiccan religion? How do you regard it?
Well, I regard it as a religion that is involved with natural magic. They certainly have a creed to harm none. They certainly do no harm to people. I'm very surprised about the statement you made about President Bush.
Yeah, well, that's where I'm going here. They have a creed to harm none. They are, is it fair to say, white witches? Is that a good general term?
Yes, basically, that is exactly what they are.
Okay. All right, well, indeed, President Bush has made a statement with regard to some military officers, and that's his obvious attitude about the Wiccan religion. He wishes that it would not be regarded as a religion at all.
Well, I can understand why. Possibly he might be a little afraid of it being one of the fastest growing religions out there, and because it gets the average person back into their own personal power and being able to affect change in their life. And certainly that is not what most organizations and businesses out there would like the average person to be able to do.
Mm-hmm. We claim to be a nation that reveres individualism and individual worship and all that sort of thing, but I don't know if we're quite as loose as we suggest to ourselves we are, huh?
we're not as tolerant of other people's culture and religion as we should be, considering here in the United States where it's supposed to be a freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're big on that, but when it really gets down to it, if it's something that offends us, we're not so big on it, and it looks like the president is not so big on Wicca at all.
And if you fear it, you destroy it.
You're not a Wiccan, though, are you?
I'm not Wiccan. I'm Genesean. I am an Italian witch. They call us the Stregas.
What's the diff?
Well, the difference is most of the Wiccan that is around today comes from Northern Europe, the Druids and the Celtic form of tradition. My tradition is an awful lot older. It is older than the Etruscan, the Roman, the Greek, and the Egyptian.
Hmm.
And so it is a matter of the old traditions.
Older than Egyptian?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. How far?
I am a Tuscany witch, and anybody who is involved with the ancient art and practice of magic understands that there is a small town called Tuscany in Italy that has a very unusual amount of people that have a bloodline or a lineage that predates or goes back into tens of thousands of years of heritage. And their traditions, their forms of magic is what is used today by myself and those people who follow those principles.
You said tens of thousands of years. How far back do you really think it goes?
I have been told by my grandfather that he had text that dated back 576,000 years.
Holy mackerel. There are a lot of Christians who think that the world's not been around but for about 20,000 years.
Well, that's their world. They're not talking about continents and civilizations that have submerged, that have unfortunately leased weapons upon each other and destroyed themselves.
I believe that. I had a Dr. Thompson on earlier in the week who made, I thought, a very good case, along with lots and lots of others, archaeologists, who say that life has come and gone, maybe not gone entirely, but virtually been squished down to almost nothing several times on Earth. Civilizations, high-tech, some of them, have come and gone. You believe that?
I most certainly do. I believe that this planet also has been colonized by other species or beings from other galaxies and solar systems. And I also feel that we have had our DNA altered.
Hmm. Sort of like 2001.
Just about.
Yep. So then there's one basic origin difference between yourself and Wiccans.
Yes.
What's the practical difference? We're all talking about, tonight we're going to talk a lot about practical magic.
All right.
All right, which was, I think, a movie title. Good movie, too. But we're going to talk a lot about real magic. So where is the difference there between you and the Wiccans?
I would have to say, first of all, that because of their creed to harm none, ours is different. We believe that if we have justification, if someone comes after ourselves or one member of our family, then we feel justified in order to use, let's say, a retaliation.
So your creed would be more like, don't harm too many.
Don't send it and you won't get it back.
Yeah. Well, again, there's a big difference between yourself and Christians. Christians, and this is why I don't, one of the reasons I don't include myself as a Christian, because Christians, it is said, should turn the other face. I'm not into that. I like my face as it is, and if somebody comes along and does it damage, I do damage back. I don't reach out to try to hurt anybody ever, but if they come after me, to hell with them, I'm going to come after them.
And that
kind of sounds like what you believe.
That is exactly what I believe. And I will use the means at my disposal in order to affect what I am going after.
Yes, and the means at your disposal are what we're going to talk about tonight. I've seen it work, Evelyn. I've seen it done myself. I've seen my wife do it. I know I really know it can be done. I know it's real.
Very talented, powerful lady.
Yeah. I know all of this is real. I have seen it happen. It's pretty awesome to see it happen. And it's like everything else. A lot of people are doubters out there until they see it happen. Not many people see this kind of thing happen because it's not talked about very much, is it?
It's kept secret because they want to keep the knowledge as well as the power to themselves. They certainly don't want anyone else out there knowing about it or especially learning about it.
Well, that would make sense. If it really works, if it's a real thing, if it really is practical magic, then you would want to hold it secret so that not everybody's doing it, and particularly doing it to you.
That is correct.
Makes sense. What can be done to a person? Let's just say you've got an enemy, somebody who's come after you and done harm to you or your family. What can be done?
Well, the first thing to do is a cleansing and a shield of protection on yourself. In other words, you want to remove the negativity that has been sent. After removing it, you want to reverse it back to the sender. Then you want to put a shield of protection around you as well as any other member of your family if they too happen to be receiving anything.
All right, now let me stop you and ask you, this shield that you're putting up mm-hmm. as you begin the process, is this to protect against the person somehow acquiring knowledge of what you're doing and coming back at you, or is this to protect yourself from what's said to be natural about witchcraft, and that is that which you send out will come back times several, perhaps?
No. If you have justification, if someone has been attacking you, if you are under psychic attack, then what you are doing is a cleansing, a reversal, and putting up a shield of protection so that you cannot be penetrated again. Therefore, that which has been blocking and stopping you or causing you harm or difficulty will not be able to penetrate the shield that you have built up.
All right. So that then means there's an assumption that magic is being used against you in the first place.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. But most times that wouldn't be the case, would it, Evan? In other words, not too many people in the U.S. are really into the kind of magic you're into. So probably the harm that you would get from somebody would come from the real world. I mean, somebody, I don't know, I'm raping your daughter, somebody robbing you and beating you up. I could think of a million different scenarios, but somebody doing real-world damage to you, and so you're going to psychically go after them. The odds are they're not going to have magic. They're just going to have a bad soul.
That's true, in the real world. But there are people out there who have acquired knowledge, and they are using that knowledge against their fellow man. They are using it to either make them sick, cause them to have a disease, give them financial ruin, make every area and arena of their life, whether it's emotional, physical, whether it's love, financial, going to hell in a handbasket.
Okay.
They are using forces and energies in order to block and stop you from receiving your good.
All right. How many people do you think there are in this country, bearing in mind we're basically a Christian nation?
Yes.
How many people are there using this kind of energy against others? How widespread is it?
Very widespread. Very widespread. Most people don't realize that a little bit of knowledge is certainly going to affect others. And if they acquire more, if they get into nature and the elements, if they get into herbs and plants and roots and gums and resins and oils, then they have got more tools to assist them in achieving their desired goal. And that desired goal may be to block and stop you or to cause you harm. And so there are many people out there that have acquired the knowledge and are still acquiring it. There are schools that are taught. There are books that are out there. There are societies, lodges, and covens that you can belong to and gain this kind of knowledge.
Do a lot of people use this power even though they're not aware they're using the power? In other words, I suppose in some ways we're all powerful spiritual beings, and if you're really going after somebody to ruin them, to hurt them, to in some way harm them or theirs, their family, even if you're not consciously doing it spiritually, you're still promulgating some sort of force, aren't you?
Yes, if you have a talent and you can concentrate and focus your attention like a laser beam and direct it to a negative, it's going to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we call the average talented person that on a subconscious level is performing magic.
All right, so this is why you set up a shield before you begin the real operation.
That is correct. There is a preparation before doing a ritual.
And exactly how do you protect yourself? How do you set up the shield? How do you do that?
Well, the first thing that you're going to do is naturally cleanse your environment. Then you are going to cleanse the instruments that you are going to use on your altar or in your temple.
One step at a time. How do I cleanse the environment? How's that done? I'm really going after the nitty-gritty here.
Yes. Well, okay, what you can use is an herb, like an holy herb or an archangel. You can also use a sulfur, which is a purifier. You can use sea salt. You can use black salt. All of that will help to cleanse your environment. You can also use sage, and that too will remove negativity from your environment. Then the next thing you're going to use is a blessing herb, an anointing or an altar oil, where you are going to consecrate the area that you are going to use to perform your ritual in.
So then if I were to tell you that I have for years now found little balloons full of black salt around my house in corners,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't be surprised about that?
Not at all. It's supposed to be there, along with maybe a little bit of five-finger grass.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe some boldo leaves.
Uh-huh.
Or even some rosemary. And you know what's so good about rosemary, Art? Not only can you use it as an herb to sprinkle in the corners of your home for protection, but you can grow rosemary outside of the home.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Evelyn, hold on. We're already at the bottom of the hour. Little balloons full of black salt and others full of herbs. My voice said, what is this?
Never mind. Just leave it there.
This is Coast to Coast AM.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
Further warning for you, we are talking about witchcraft, in some cases pretty dark witchcraft tonight, so if it offends you, tune out. Don't sit there just seeing how offended you can get before it's all over. Tune out now. This is a subject we are going to cover. So, that's the warning. Do as you will.
Now, take you back to the past. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Dr. Evelyn Paglini is my guest. Evelyn, welcome back.
Thank you.
By the way, do you know that it's true that if you put black salt in little balloons, that it eventually breaks down the little balloons, and so what you have after about 2 months is a little pile of black salt and a broken down balloon?
Yes.
This is one of the, this is just one of the ways that you can set up a shield of protection. Now, does that mean that if somebody is psychically attacking you, that it's going to be just sort of like a Star Trek shield? It's going to bounce off this shield and not affect you. Is that, that's the idea?
That is correct. Now, you can add a mirror or a reflection, or what we call a boomerang. So, therefore, if it is being sent to you, it is repelled back to the sender. Now, that's another ritual, but that also is another form of a shield of protection.
That takes a ritual to do it, though, huh?
Yes.
But
it's not that difficult.
Is it a specific thing, or is it a general thing? In other words, once you set up, or once you do a ritual for this boomerang or mirror or whatever it is it specific to the one trying to harm you, or is it general? Is it against all harm that might come your way?
If you know of a specific person who is sending you a negativity, then naturally you would want it specifically sent back. But you can also do one that is a general protection.
But it would be stronger, I would presume, if it was specific.
Absolutely. And if you made an effigy of the individual and it also included sympathetic and imitative magic, then you have even more an established link.
All right, so far this sounds like defense. All defense. Even if you're mirroring it back to whoever is doing it to you, it's still, in my way of thinking, in the category of defense.
Yes, it's psychic self-defense.
But I suppose the mirror system is getting close to like SDI that a lot of people complain about. All right, I've got a lot of questions from listeners, and I'm going to sort of pepper them in this morning. Somebody asks, and I suppose this will offend somebody, but the regular clergy, you know, priests mm-hmm. and bishops and people high up in the church, are they, in effect, using some aspects of magic? Even though consciously they're not doing the kind of rituals that you do, aren't they, in effect, exercising the same realm?
Yes, they are, and depending on what level of church they belong to, there are certain, let's say, Luciferian traditions that are being practiced.
Yes. Yes.
Very definitely.
Yes, I'm told by people who know that within the Catholic Church at the top, there may be such practices that go on, practices held secret for more years than we can contemplate. You believe that to be true?
Yes, I know it to be true.
Another widely held belief is that, this comes from Bob in Denver, but a lot of people believe it. If you do not believe in it, in the magic, in whatever is being done to you, if you just simply say, what a pile of steaming dung, then it cannot possibly harm you.
That would only be correct if that person was in balance and possibly in what they consider to be a state of grace. But the average person out there, no matter where they're at and where the practitioner is at, can be touched, affected, and reached. And they don't have to know.
So a simple disbelief, I mean, you know, that's said about voodoo and has been for years. You don't believe in it, can't harm you. If you do believe in it, you're dead.
Well, that's true, but they also have been able to affect people thousands of miles away
yes.
who not only did not know about it, but also did not believe in it, and yet it still worked.
So then voodoo is real?
Voodoo is real. Every magical practice is real. The intent of the practitioner,
mm-hmm.
the knowledge and the power of that practitioner
mm-hmm.
is what's going to define the result he gets.
Gotcha. All right, so then the kind of magic that you practice
mm-hmm.
Probably wouldn't be pursued by too many people because they would suggest that the power itself, used in the way you say it can be used, I'm not suggesting you use dark magic all the time, because I know you don't, but I know you can and have. So, not too many people would pursue it, because they would consider it to be from the power derived from the dark side, as opposed to the Christian God.
I can understand that, Art, because, again, that is a fear of the unknown. They don't have the knowledge. They haven't taken the time to study. It's a discipline, and it takes years to understand and to master. And so they would stay away from it, and the more they stay away from it, the only people who gain that power
are the people who use it.
Who use it and pursue it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you don't understand it, see, knowledge is a double-edged sword. If I have the power in order to protect you or to heal you, then I also have the power to destroy you. Same principle, same energy.
Same source of power?
Same source of power.
So in other
power
words...
Power is neutral.
Huh.
The power is neutral. It is my intent. If I call upon the forces or the elements, and I can use... Let's say they take the element of earth. All right, you can use it for prosperity. You can use it for strength. You can use it for so many positive things, and yet you can also destroy a person using earth power and the force of it.
Mm.
So what you're doing is tapping into a vibration and an energy and a force, and you, as the practitioner, are doing the directing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you did some experiments, Art, remember?
I've done many experiments. You refer to...
The experiments with your audience.
Oh, those experiments, yes.
And you watch them come to fruition.
To the point where it scared the hell out of me, yes.
Now, that was the directing of a collective consciousness and a force and an energy to accomplish a specific purpose.
One that I had no understanding of whatsoever. I've been getting a lot of emails lately, Evelyn, asking me to provide rain for Florida, where there is now a severe drought. I've been contemplating this for some time. Don't send me more emails. I'm thinking about it. I'm afraid of this. It's a power that I don't understand. I've seen it work now again and again, as you well know.
Take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Once again, another warning, so they are abundant. We are talking about witchcraft tonight. If you can't handle it, tune out. I have reason to know that my guest, Dr. Evelyn Paglini, is the real McCoy. Now, there are many who disagree with that, and we'll touch on that in a moment. But that's the subject, so beware. Conduct yourself accordingly. It's witchcraft tonight. Stay right there.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
Once again, back to Dr. Evelyn Paglini. Welcome back, Evelyn.
Thank you.
Evelyn, I know what you are. I have no questions in my mind about that, but I do know that when I was soliciting years ago for a witch, the Wiccans called me in force and emailed me in force and said, "You're out of your mind. There's no such thing. There are just Wiccans, and we will inevitably tonight get Wiccans who will call and take that line, that tact. They will say, we are the only true witches. There's no witch as you describe the, I think I got cute and I used the broom riding cauldron stirring witch, but the kind of witch that you are, they claim you're a fraud, you don't exist."
Well, those people I would really like to hear on air, only because I'd like to know their background and their history and their discipline. Because any true practitioner of any religion out there knows that you are dealing with a power and that power can be used positively or negatively. Period.
I guess their belief system is you cannot use it negatively, right?
I can't believe that. I really can't. Not
I mean,
any
that
true
is what
practitioner.
Yeah, but that is what the Wiccans generally think, isn't it, that you cannot use it negatively?
I'd like to hear it from them, from their lips, because
well,
I don't believe that.
You know you're going to hear it from their lips. We've done other shows where they've called. And
they're going to say that they won't do harm, and rightfully so. That is their creed, that is their principle, that is their life's blood. But that doesn't mean they haven't got the knowledge. Just like you were talking about earlier, defensively, they can protect themselves and their loved ones. They don't choose to go out and harm someone, but if someone comes to them, they certainly do have the tactics, the technique, and the knowledge to defend themselves.
All right, let's talk about the kind of warrior you are. Let me set up a little scenario, and let's see if you could do it. Let's say that you wanted to harm someone, and let's say this person had not harmed you. Let's say that for whatever reason, you decided you wanted to harm someone, make them sick, ruin their life, end their career, cause a divorce, cause a suicide, whatever. Could you do that?
Yes, sir. I could.
What would be the repercussions for you, and could you protect yourself against them?
If that person was innocent and I deliberately went after them for no justification reason,
right,
then I would have a karmic payback. I would pay the price.
When?
Either in this lifetime or in my evolutionary soul lifetime. Because the soul and the spirit is eternal, and you will pay for what you do.
Do you think, I mean, we see a lot of people in this lifetime that are having terrible lives, Evelyn, and not all of them, certainly, are under present psychic attack. Is it possible that some people who are having awful lives, terrible luck, terrible illnesses, are paying for something that was done generations ago?
Yes, there's a very good possibility that karmically they are paying back for what they have done. Sometimes they will take on a malfunction or a disorder of the body in order for them to gain the ground of the soul. Not only how do they handle the disease that has been placed upon them, or the malfunction or the disorder, but how are they treating other people around them? Are they making them pay?
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, it is a growth cycle, and it can also be a karmic cycle.
Paul in Iowa asks, Evelyn, how can one whom is not a witch know whether or not they're under psychic attack from someone else? In other words, whether you're paying karmically for something that occurred long ago or whether you're under a present psychic attack. How can you know?
usually a psychic attack will come out of the blue. It will last for a specific length of time.
Oh.
It can be 5 years, 15 years, or it can be just, you know, a few months. What is the intent of the practitioner? What are they trying to accomplish? And so you can, by looking at your own life, if you're seeing that you can't keep your head above water, that everything you touch is going by the wayside, that you are being hit from every side, most likely you have someone who is sending this to you. And what you need to do is a cleansing and a protection.
So it would come on all at once. It would be disastrous as opposed to a karmic repayment that would perhaps last.
That would
last...
usually be in one arena.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No.
So, you'd be hit from all sides.
People want you, they want you in every aspect of your life. They want to break you.
And so it would be coming at you from every direction.
Yes.
Everything in your life would be falling apart, including yourself, probably.
Right. You know, in your listening audience, and I have permission from this one person, I have thousands of testimonials in the 5 years of helping people from your show.
Yes.
I have one man who had a curse placed upon him from a South African voodoo priest. Not only was he fighting demons in the night where he could not sleep, but he had a growth that was on his back.
Mm-hmm.
He was in his late 50s, and his life for the last 20-some-odd years had been hell. When I got involved with him, not only did we remove the curse, give him his sleepless nights, take away the growth on his shoulder, but I also increased his love life, where now he's married and just recently had a child.
Yeah, now see, that's practical magic. You really
and
did
I
that.
I had the testimonial, signed affidavit from this man.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all.
And that's one of thousands.
Let's talk for a second about evil. I was sort of, I guess, asking myself in the audience and a lot of people. We had a school shooting down in San Diego that I know you're aware of recently, horrible one.
Yes.
And there's a lot of that sort of thing going on. When I said earlier, I was born in June, the 17th of June of 45, and when I went to school, Evelyn, we didn't have that stuff going on.
Neither did I.
In today's world, we do. It's prolific. It's happening more and more and more. And I guess I wondered out loud if it was real evil at work in the world, real external, real evil, not just people making choices in their minds individually, although I guess that happens, but, I mean, real evil at work.
Yes, you have how do I put this? There are certain societies, organizations, lodges, etc., whose ultimate goal is the manipulation and control of the masses, the population.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing mind control and ritual to affect children as well as adults.
It's apparently working.
Very well. And on other scales, they are using it in order to control and manipulate the populace in big government, big organizations, big business. And they usually are doing it ritualistically and, unfortunately, at times, sacrificially.
Well, you would imagine an opposite force. I don't know what that would be. The clergy, maybe. The church, generally, as the force that would be fighting this. But looking around me right now, Evelyn, it looks to me like the dark side be a-winning.
Unfortunately, this is the times that evil is, I would say, running rampant. Certainly, personification of evil is rampant. It's showing its ugly head in more arenas than one.
And there's no way to know what the future holds, is there? As a general question, is evil going to continue to triumph? Is it going to go on for years or scores of years or hundreds or thousands of years? Or
well, they certainly plan in the decades and the centuries. They are very heinous. They're not looking for the result of today. They are always looking to second, third, fourth generation. So I would have to say there is an increase of evil. There is an increase of manipulation.
So then you really think that this very real evil, these sort of blank-eyed children that are doing these horrible things that we've never seen in society before, that's being done ritualistically by secret groups.
That is correct. But what we also have going on is children of the light coming in. They have the sensitivities and the talents of old. They have precognition. They are able to foresee the future. They have sensitivities. They are able to speak with the dearly departed. In other words, there are children coming in with phenomenal talents.
I've been told that by many.
And what's happening is because they are now being taught properly with a good discipline and a good balance, they're going to kind of level the playing field for all of those others that are being manipulated and used by the dark forces.
So this is a war.
It has always been
a war.
Always. Since the beginning of time.
So there's a sort of a small picture, an individual picture, and there's a very much a larger picture, but it's all wielding the same sources of power?
Correct. They just will call upon different forces or entities or demons. They will use specific ritual in order to enhance or gain more power so that they can use that power against us.
Well, maybe that's one reason why our government doesn't want any more of this, doesn't want to sanction any of this as religious belief, because, frankly, they fear it.
Yes. The Wiccans out there are teaching everyone how to get the edge on the future, how to protect themselves, and how to get back into nature and the elements that we have gotten away from. We live in a concrete jungle, and what's happened is we have become immune. We have lost our humanness, and in so doing, we have lost our spirituality. What we're trying now to gain is to raise our level of consciousness, to cross the threshold of enlightenment, and to realize that we are all divine spiritual beings only here to experience humanness.
Diane in Sacramento, California asks, how can I remove a spell or a curse from me when the person that put it there is dead?
I've done that several times, and so, again, what you are doing is because specifically she knows who the person was. You are still going to be able to reach the spirit, entity, or soul of that person, and you are asking them, okay, in ritual, to take back. In other words, they are going to reabsorb that which they have sent. So again, you can do a reversal, and that reversal will go back to the spirit or the soul of that person who sent it.
All right, so the fact that they've passed from the physical plane doesn't make any difference.
Not at all. They are eternal.
All right. Ken in Loveland, Colorado asks, can I do anything to stop this pedophile without an effigy? I cannot obtain personal items from him.
Well, then the only thing he has going for him is instead of sympathetic, he has imitative. And again, with good, strong visualization and the techniques of calling into forces, yes, he can stop a pedophile. He can cause him to be found out and incarcerated.
Uh-huh. All of that can be done even without the hair or the fingernail
clippings
or whatever.
It's the practitioner. If they're good enough, he's been had.
If somebody wants to begin to practice in the realms that we're talking about this morning, how long will it take before, if they begin a systematic pattern of study, how long will it take before they can reasonably begin exercising power?
Quite honestly, Art, at level one, immediately. with a little bit of knowledge, immediate results can be done. When you're getting into something that is greater, naturally the discipline and the knowledge of other forces, entities, and beings should be done. The opportunity of knowing how to create a familiar or a thought form, where to infuse it, how to send it, how to have it on a time release. That's all discipline. But the average person out there, like I'm teaching, I'm giving them the edge on the ability to change their lives as well as to protect their family and their loved ones. Yes, that can be done immediately.
You mentioned familiar. And I know you were on the line before I brought you up in the first hour of the program. You heard me read something about cats.
Uh-huh.
And you remember they said, put the cat's ears back, hold them back, and look at that cat. That cat looks exactly like an alien gray. I mean, they do look exactly like alien grays when you put their ears back. Now, cats are familiars. What's special about a cat? Why is a cat an interesting or powerful familiar?
Well, first of all, the cats have been used since ancient times as watchers, as guardians, as sensitives. But they have also been used by the dark forces, where they will be infused with the spirit of a negative and sent out to do the practitioner's bidding, whether it be to spy, whether it be to bring on negativity, or to bring on sickness.
So you're using the cat as a vehicle for an evil or negative force.
Correct. Now, you can use any animal,
yes,
and you can use an inanimate object.
I understand, but why is a cat particularly...
Because of its agility, its cunningness, its sensitivity, its heightened spirituality.
Interesting. So you could imbue a cat with a negative force that would then be sent to somebody, for example, that you wanted to get very sick with some sort of fatal illness, let us say.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That and any other animal.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting.
Most of the times the cat will be used for protection, okay, as a watcher,
yes,
as a warning, because of their heightened sensitivities.
You began all this when you were 4 years old.
I was initiated at 4 years old. That is correct.
How did that work? What do you mean initiated?
I was brought before a board of elders. I was sponsored by my grandfather. I had a scepter placed in my mouth, and from that point forward, I was disciplined in the old traditions of Wicca, of the Italian Strega Wicca.
Remarkable, remarkable. How old are you now, Evelyn?
Art, I am close to your age.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
I'm 50.
I've been around a long time.
I'm 50. I'm 55, so you're pretty close, huh?
Yes, I am. I founded the International Psychic Center in 1972, so that gives you some idea.
It gives me some idea indeed. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour, Evelyn. Hold on, we'll be right back. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
He talked and talked, and I heard him say that she had the longest, blackest hair, the prettiest green eyes anywhere. And Marie's the name of his latest fame. Though I smiled, the tears inside were a burning. I wished him luck, and then he said goodbye. He was gone, but still his words kept returning. What else was there for me to do but cry? Number 9. I told her that I was a fly.
station number 9. She bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said, I'm gonna mix it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine and looked like India ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes.
I took a drink.
I didn't know it was a day or night. I started kissing everything in sight.
Premier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
Hey, Evelyn, you're not all that far from 34th and Vine, are you?
Nope.
No, she's down there somewhere. Evelyn Paglini is my guest, and she'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
Here's another question for you, of worry to a great number of people who will be listening this morning, would be our conversation, the conversation we had just a little earlier about groups, secret groups of people who are promulgating evil on society and causing these terrible things to begin to happen, Evelyn.
Yes.
And the question from Media Pennsylvania, that's interesting, I went to school there, I lived in Media, is the people that we're talking about here are trying their best to stamp out goodness, you could put it that way, he does. Well, because they hate goodness, because it reminds them, he says, of what they once were and had and lost or should be innocent. In other words, they basically hate themselves. Is that fair? Do you think that's what the motivation is?
I would say that maybe 30 or 40% of those people would fall in that category. But when you are talking about ceremonial, ritualistic magic, blood sacrifices, that is not their intent. Their intent is to manipulate and to control the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And they will call upon any deity, any being that will give them that kind of power and knowledge.
But I guess, you know, he's saying that, in effect, they're doing this because they have lost any goodness they once had. That is correct. And they, in effect, hate themselves and hate the world.
I wouldn't say they hate themselves and they hate the world. They have an agenda.
Mm.
And that agenda is much more powerful than their fear of not being human anymore. They've given that up a long time ago.
Mm.
You have bloodlines and lineages that go back thousands of years, and their agenda is to control the world and you. They're not worried about not being human anymore.
Well,
they've already given their souls.
They're well on the way. So if there's a war out there right now, as I said, I think we're having about as much luck with it as we are the drug war. Harold in California asks, I was under the belief that animals did not have souls. So how could they have higher spiritual awareness?
Because everything that has been created by the God force has an essence and a spirit. That spirit can be used and manipulated.
Hmm.
Everything.
Do you agree with the contention that animals do not have souls?
No, I do not. I believe they do.
All right. What if you take, Evelyn, something in the gray, in a grayer area? We've tended to be talking about extremes. Somebody who would rape your child is an extreme. Suppose we took something in a far more gray area, like Rose from Arizona says, we have a very bad neighbor. Now, this neighbor may have not done anything specifically to Rose, but it's just, you know, a lot of people have bad neighbors from hell, right?
Yes.
Would it be karmically correct to do a spell to cause them to move? That's a far grayer area. If this person has not done you harm, but you just, you don't like them, you don't want them living next to you anymore.
Yes, you can do that.
Is that karmically dangerous?
No, it's not, because you're not wishing them harm. You can send them to a better area, a better home, a better job, a better life. You're just removing them from your atmosphere.
Hmm. So, witchcraft is effective in these gray areas without damage to the originator.
Absolutely.
What about things that are thought to be magical, like Ouija boards, for example? That's what most of the American public has heard of, a Ouija board. They know what it is. Is it really into this area? Is it really magic, or is it just sort of a, what is it, a conduit?
It's a conduit. You are tapping into your unconscious mind. You are also tapping into the ethereal, and therefore you may be opening up the door and getting more than you bargained for. You may get a low entity spirit that will in the beginning give you a lot of good and solid and grounded information, but slowly but surely will send you in another direction. Yeah. I don't like to see people play with Ouija boards.
Yeah, it's like not having read the manual.
Correct.
So you could, though, use a Ouija board with sufficient knowledge safely, positively.
Yes, you can. But, again, if you have the discipline.
But it's not something you'd recommend for...
For the average person out there, no. It's just like the same thing, don't have a seance. Because what you're doing is you're opening up the door to any spirit or entity out there. And if you don't know what you're doing, again, you don't know what you're liable to receive.
How much work is there if you have protected yourself and you're going after someone to harm them?
Mm-hmm.
How much work is there to do ritualistically to achieve that goal?
Quite a bit. Depending on the practitioner, depending on the person you're going after, what is their talent? In other words, do they come from a specific discipline? And so, therefore, you have got to make sure that you have a strong enough barrier and guard and reinforce it, because otherwise you can be hit.
But it's something that, I mean, would it... To go after somebody, to make them ill, or even kill them, would you have to work at this all day long, every day? Is this a full-time job, Evelyn, or is it something, a ritual you do and then walk away from and it just happens? Or give me, I don't need, I
all right,
don't
if you're talking about me, I may do a ritual 2 to 3 times, depending on what it is I'm going after. In other words, one time may not get it. And so I've said this to my students a lot of times. If I want you, you're mine. Because I won't get off of you. I won't get done until I finish and get accomplished what I want.
Uh-huh.
Now, so there are other people that will just do one little ritual because they're doing something that is not that big. In other words, they're going to try to gain some success, attract a lover or a mate, okay, or remove a person that is standing in your way of a job or getting that mate.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be done usually in one ritual, sometimes two. Again, what am I facing, and is that person's mind very strong? And am I doing the ritual at the right time? Most people try to do a ritual, you know, when they have a good energy. But what they must also understand that the person that they're trying to receive this energy, the best time to reach them is after midnight and before 5 a.m. in the morning. That person's in repose. You're getting into their psyche a lot quicker than if you were doing a ritual during the day.
Oh, that absolutely figures. Somehow it figures.
That's why I don't open up my altar till after midnight.
If you are in a battle with somebody using force on the other side, you're in a life and death battle, aren't you? I suppose, like in real life, it doesn't happen that often. Cops don't end up using their guns, some of them ever in their career. They never draw their gun except to practice. So it doesn't probably happen all that frequently, but if you really get in a psychic battle with somebody, it's a life and death battle, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Have you been in such battles?
More than once.
Well, you're still here, so I presume someone else isn't.
That is correct. I have taken on Satanists. I have taken on voodoo priests, Haitian voodoo, South African, you name it. It's been done.
How many of your students, Evelyn, progress into the kind of areas of knowledge that would be required to do these kind of battles? How many of your students, percentage-wise, progress that far or even want to?
I would have to say a good 25%. Sometimes more. It depends.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, there is a dedication out there where people are realizing that they have gained knowledge and power, and now what they want to do is they want to help their fellow man. In other words, they want to level the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
So they will take the time, and it is years, of knowledge and dedication to acquire what we call a mastership.
What is the difference in power between a single person operating as you might yourself in a circumstance and a coven?
Well, again, it is the force of numbers. In other words, you can collectively, as you did with your audience, train that person and persons to direct their energy at a specific objective. And you're going to have a lot more power and manifestation quicker because you have collectively the people to do it.
And you're telling me that, for example, if you wanted to bring rain to the drought-starved areas of Florida, you could do it without harm.
Yes.
It could be done without harm.
Yes.
Because we did that, for example, in one area in Texas that was drought-starved, and they ended up with floods. That caused me pause.
Only because you didn't bind down the action not wanted. You
we'll
didn't
see.
Say, I want enough water, okay?
I know, and it's
flooding.
True, I didn't. I said, let's make it rain.
Well, it rained.
It sure did.
See, it's the same thing. Like, if you're going to create a familiar, what you're going to do is specifically say you are going to be in existence for this length of time, and then you are going to dissolve. The same thing with ritual. You are going to accomplish this ritual, but you are going to bind down an action not wanted. Again, double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has two sides to it. So you get both sides. You must make sure you bind down what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can proceed.
All right. Here's an interesting question. It's suggested that George W. was a member of Skull and Bones at Yale.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yes, I've heard that, too. Is that why he wants to outlaw, if he could, or to remove the religious exemption, I guess, that the Wiccans have? In other words, he knows enough about it, not from his own background, to know what he's facing?
Yes. You want to eliminate anyone who has the same kind of knowledge and power that can defeat you or alter your objectives. And that is what the modern Wiccan and the modern people who practice magic are doing, thank God.
What is the difference, if there is one, between what we commonly call a soul and a spirit? Are they one and the same?
They have been interchanged by people of, I would have to say, knowledge, only because they're trying to explain that there is a soul which is eternal, and then there is an essence or a spirit. It's like when you have a haunting.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have the soul of the person. You're going to have the spirit or the essence of the person that has remained earthbound.
Oh, that reminds me of a question I really want to ask you. I do a great deal with ghosts, as you know.
Yes.
And I talk a lot about ghosts. And Evelyn, somebody brought something up to me that I had never in my life considered before, and that was that you can have hauntings not only of those who have passed from the physical, but you can actually have hauntings of living people that... for example, somebody who lived, let's say, in a house for 30 years suddenly moves. Somebody else moves into the house. Well, believe it or not, there's a haunting that goes on, but it's by the remains, the only way I can think of it, spiritual remains of that person who is still alive.
Yeah, the essence.
Heard walking across the floors and doing what ghosts do, that sort of thing, that something about them remains behind. Even though they're still alive, it remains behind, acting as a ghost would act, you know, the normal ghost that we think about, people have passed on.
Yes. Their spirit, their essence, has remained. That is why I've always suggested people, when they move into a new home or a new apartment, that they cleanse it. There's the old saying, walls have ears. Mm-hmm. Well, if you've had a lot of sickness in a home, if you've had an awful lot of anger and fighting and arguing, what happens is that residue stays within the walls. The next people who move in, especially those who are highly sensitive, are going to be affected by it. And so a cleansing is always necessary when you move into any place that is new.
Well, that's really interesting. So then you shouldn't just consider whether some old fellow hung himself from the rafters in the house you're about to buy. You ought to consider whether the couple who lived there was ripping and tearing at each other and fighting and throwing things and cursing each other the whole time they lived there. That would be...
Ooh, a tremendous energy field. That is negative, and it will cause you to have arguments, sleepless nights, uneasiness, uncomfortability.
Wow.
As well as sickness.
I never thought of any of that until you just now said it, but it does. If a living ghost makes sense, then everything you said just makes sense.
It's the vibration and the energies that are left behind, yes.
That's why I like new houses, I think. I love moving into homes where nobody has lived before. That's what I did in the case of this house, and it's worked out very well. It's just our vibrations are here, and they've been 99% great ones. So I think there really is something to that. But what about the ground upon which the house sits?
Oh, again, if you happen to have built a structure or a home on, let's say, a battlefield or an Indian burial ground or where an awful lot of people that had died from a plague, you're going to get that essence, that energy, back into that home. It makes no difference how much cleansing you do on the home. You have to appease the land. Otherwise, it's going to continue manifestation.
How would you do that with land? I mean, what would you
depending
do?
Depending on what is the cause. In other words, I did one in St. Charles, Illinois, that was an Indian burial ground. And what I did is I made an appeasement to the tribe it belonged to and borrowed some time for the people so that they could remove themselves from that home and sell it.
Whew. I know there are actual laws in some states where if a house has a history of haunting, it is required by law that you disclose to the buyer before they buy that that's the case.
Yes, because there is a reality to it. And there have been many lawsuits that have been won because that has not been informed.
I know. It seems incredible that a court could rule based on something like that, and yet they have. And yet there are actual laws on the books about all of this today. And
so it shows you it exists.
And they're enforced. Well, I know all of this exists. And I wonder how the audience is going to react. Those who have been listening, probably by now, Evelyn, are beginning to think, well, gosh, it does seem real. Magic is practical. Magic is powerful. Magic is real. And once you realize that, I guess it's gonna tug at a lot of what you believe, isn't it? Challenge a lot of what you believe?
Well, it will in the beginning until, again, you cannot get into nature and the elements without touching the spark of the divine because God created all things. It is up to you whether you decide to use it black or white.
All right, all right.
And, you know, stop passing the buck to the devil.
I got
responsibility.
I got you. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Evelyn Paglini is on Coast to Coast tonight. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
Mama's dancing, baby on her shoulder. hookah, chaka, hookah, 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 chaka, hookah, hookah, hookah,
chaka, hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah, hookah,
hookah, hookah, hookah,
everything's all right.
Ah,
what kind of feeling? I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. Lips as sweet as candy, its taste is on my mind.
Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
Just in case you're joining us very late, one last warning for you. We're discussing witchcraft. Serious witchcraft. It's no joke, and if you're offended by this sort of thing, you can turn the dial now. Either one. One that leads to another radio station, one that is off. So be warned, that is the subject material tonight. We'll be right back. Dr. Evelyn Paglini is my guest.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Once again, Evelyn Paglini. And Evelyn, save, I guess, the most dire things for near the end of the program, I want to ask you about a couple of things. One is blood sacrifice, Evelyn. What do you know about that?
Well, it is very prevalent. It goes across many different religion, cultures, and societies. They will use animal sacrifice, and they will use human sacrifice, especially children. And there is also organizations out there that have breeding farms. You have in your audience many survivors of satanic ritual that they have seen playmates, members of their family, as well as been witness to blood sacrifice.
You know, if I didn't know you, I would say, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I believe that there are breeding farms, for example, breeding farms to make young people to be sacrificed?
Absolutely. As well as many, many children that are missing throughout the world
and
that are never been found.
You're claiming this is going on in America?
It's going on in America as well as across the world. And if you put the call out to your audience, you will receive phone calls from the survivors of ritual sacrifice. You will receive phone calls. Just put the call out there, and that I will be validated.
Well, I hope not, but I guess I suppose.
Oh, it's the truth. And yeah. Like I said, so many children that go missing, that are never found, have been used as breeders as well as used as sacrifice. They want the innocent, the young, the pure, because the nectar of the gods is blood, just like the metal of the gods is gold.
What do you mean, the gods? The nectar of the gods is blood.
Yes, because if you are calling upon a specific deity or being or demon, what they want is the sacrifice of blood. And those people who are in these societies, once they have the taste of blood and the taste of flesh, never, ever go without it. It is something that becomes so ingrained in them that they must have it. And so, therefore, they will actually breed children in order for them to sacrifice them to their deities, their gods, their forces, in order to gain the knowledge and the power that they have.
And they do gain power that way?
Oh, yes, they do. Big time.
Phew. That's almost beyond my ability to comprehend.
They don't want you to comprehend it. They don't want you to believe it. It's
well,
secret.
They're doing real well then, because I can't even... That's beyond my...
Some night, open up your lines and ask people who have escaped that kind and have witnessed what I am talking about. Have them call in, Art.
I can do that now. I've got a couple of people waiting, but then I can do that. Actually, I can't.
There will
that.
Be people who will come out of the woodwork and say, yes, this is true. I have witnessed this. I have lived it. I have been brought up in it.
All right. Everybody who is presently on the line waiting, I'm going to get you on. Everybody else, hang up. Just hang up. Cooperate and hang up. And what we want is exactly what you just heard from Evelyn. Are there people out there that actually have been part of a breeding farm or have been about to be used in a ritual sacrifice and have escaped? Do you really have personal knowledge of this? If you do, then I want to hear from you and only you. Everybody else, hang up. Listen to me because you're not going to get on the air anyway, so hang up. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Evelyn Paglini.
Hi, Art. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi.
Wow, what you just said just scared the hell out of me.
Well, I want to scare the hell out of you because, you see, if we bring it to light, then they're not going to be able to stay in the shadows and do these dastardly deeds. I want awareness of the public out there.
Okay. Huh. Well, this is a Zen man in Alaska. And, Art, as you well know, there's a lot of alcoholism up here in Alaska.
And I know that, yes.
Yeah. And I've known a couple of alcoholics intimately. And they have both been, I guess, possessed. I mean, there's bad smells of rot in cars and buildings, wherever they go, and it requires spiritual means to remove it. And I've recorded them rant and rave at times when they're drunk, and later I've heard demon sounds on the tape. And they've always been, you know, manipulatively psychic. They use their knowledge against you.
Yes.
And... later, if you confront the person when they're not having an episode, they're very confused and they cry and they don't understand what you're talking about. And I was wondering, what's this connection between psychic ability and possession? And what's the connection between alcoholism and possession? And can you drive out the alcoholism in somebody that just doesn't want it?
You can, but it would take an awful long time, and it would take a lot of psychological interpretation with the person as well as ritual and a personal nature.
Mm-hmm. I've had some luck getting rid of some of these, I don't know what you would call it, a low-level possession maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just with the force of my will. I haven't done any rituals or anything. I've just, you know, confronted the thing, whatever it is. And it's scary to listen to these tapes because you can hear the thing. I'll try to imitate the sound. It goes kind of like that in the background of the tape, and it's nothing that I heard at the time I was talking to him.
Well, that is an energy that goes into the body,
mm-hmm.
and takes possession, and once in possession can do God knows what.
Yeah, and they usually do God knows what.
Exactly. I'm being kind.
I've seen some very, very bizarre behavior out of these individuals.
If you opened up my case history and my filing cabinet, you would not believe what you would find in there. And these are all testimonials from people who have lived it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Lee. I'm from Phoenix, but I drive a cross-country semi. Sorry for the cell phone, Art.
No, that's right. It's a pretty good one as they go.
I listen to you on many stations, but I think I'm listening to you this time out of San Antonio, WOAI or something like that.
That'd be the one, 1200, yes.
Right, that's the one. Well, I'm currently in Oklahoma, and I was listening to your station, and Evelyn asked for verification, and I just wanted to tell you that I had a friend who was MPD and swore up and down that she was raised in her youth by a woman who was a witch priestess. She married a man who got her into this, and that she and her younger sister were involved in the rituals, and that she was made to clean up the blood after the rituals. She would just be absolutely vomiting as a little child cleaning this up, that her mother would force her to do that and be a part of the rituals, and that's part of the reason that she is MPD.
Holy mackerel.
Yes. Yeah. Multiple personality disorder usually is the fracturing of a young child, and it is done deliberately.
Absolutely.
It is done in ritual. It is done also in sexual ritual.
Absolutely.
So that they will split the person.
She was able to escape, and later on was able to help her little sister to escape. But her little sister, they never had a really close relationship after that. It kind of got weird after that because of the rituals and of the situations that they had. But by the way, I am a third-degree witch, initiated. My husband is an initiated shaman.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And yes, there is a difference between Wicca and witchcraft. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Wow. All right. Well, there you go. What I've done is, for the audience out there right now, I've closed all of the phone lines for anything except those who have been involved in ritualistic magic or breeding farms or blood sacrifice, and that's all I'm taking right now, other than I think I still have one person holding with something else. Otherwise, please only call if you know about these things. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Hello.
Hello, Art. Hello, Evelyn.
Hello.
This is Jean, listening to Como in Western Washington.
Right.
Evelyn, I've been told by several people that we take on our partner's sexual or our partner's karma through sexual intimacy, and I wonder if you know anything about that. I have another question, too.
No, you do not.
You do not. My other question is, do you have a psychic sense if whether your clients really understand their circumstance?
When my clients make an appointment with me and I do a consultation, yes, because I take the time in order to explain to them just exactly what is going on and then how to solve the problem or the situation.
I see. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, and take care. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Hello.
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 Yeah, Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to add a question for Dr. Paglini. First question is kind of comical. What about the cat stealing the breath? I've got a cat that I heard earlier that, certain animals, of course, can be manipulated to do whatever. But just a strict black cat.
Is that an old wives' tale you want to know?
No, I want to know, is there any truth to that?
Well, that's what you want to know. Is it an old wives' tale or is it true?
Right. And also, I had another question.
Doctor?
No, it's not true. They do not suck the breath out of a child.
No, because I mean, literally, the cat, you know, you wake up in the morning, the cat's right in your face, and they
well, yeah, but
they
do that. So it doesn't, the answer is, it's not true. Your next question?
Okay, my next question is, you have, I'm understanding the ritual arts, Wiccan and whatever. I've done candle magic and done other things. I understand there is something to that, and I understand that as well. But my question is, what about the people that, like Sylvia Brown that's out there that are, that of course, just like you, you're legit. What about her? Do you have any comment on, like, if you were going to try to perform, magic on her or do whatever, I mean, is this somebody, you know, do you know who Sylvia Brown is?
Yes, I do.
Do you respect her?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what is your thoughts and beliefs on where she comes from? Because she believes that what you're saying is, like, for is like magic and black art
I've
and whatever,
what
there's no
said.
Truth to it.
She said that there's no basis
for it. She's like, if you were to come to her and you were to sit there and try to do something to her, that
okay, wait a minute,
be able
hold on, caller, let her answer.
I'm sure. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
sorry.
Just yes, pause.
She does believe that there is no basics in magic and that there is no cursing. And unfortunately, I would not like to show her that it was real. But if she pushed me, I would.
Oh, you really could, huh?
I know I can.
Oh. Okay, that's all I wanted to know. That's my question. I really have a lot of respect for Sylvia.
But
I know
she's doing
I know
a
she
wonderful
has a gift.
Job. She
has
really
a gift,
is.
Yeah, from God. And I was just, you know, wondering, like, I know that you would never do something like that, but it's like,
magic
really,
is
she
real,
doesn't believe
sir.
In that. She has
no,
really
magic,
Christian beliefs.
Magic is real, and you can affect change, positive or negative, and that's the truth.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Hello.
Hello. I'm Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
And I have had, not a friend of mine, but me, I've had experiences with this. I was on a breeding farm, and my daughter was to be sacrificed.
What?
And I got really, really scared. All of a sudden, I love this baby inside of me, and I wanted to keep it. And I had a real hard time getting away, and I had to move 10 different times when I was pregnant. I lived in Castro Valley, I lived in San Francisco, I lived in the Valley of the Moon, I lived in Berkeley for a while, and then I moved back to Oakland, and then I moved to Fremont, and that's where my daughter was born.
Wow.
And subsequently, ever since then, you know, like...
May I ask a question? How do you get lured into a breeding?
Oh, the idea... I was 21, 22 when I first started getting into it, and it was just the idea. I moved into a house with these people back in the day, you know, when we smoked a little green and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm your age. I'm 52. I'm not a baby. And they would go out in the backyard. This woman and her boyfriend would go out in the backyard. And they'd sit there with a crystal ball, and from the inside, you know, I'd look out the curtains, and the crystal would be glowing. I thought, whoa, cool, you know, and I wanted to get involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically the beginning of it, you know. And
how
did you realize it was something else?
Right.
Realize what was something else, hon?
That you were into something beyond glowing crystal balls, that you were, in other words, you were in deep...
Oh, I didn't. It was just fun. It was just a fun thing to do, to get high and just be with a bunch of other witches and so mote it be and things like this. And I just went deeper and deeper and deeper. It just happened. I didn't know what the heck was going on. My father's a minister.
When did you understand that your daughter was going to be sacrificed?
Well, that's why I was bred on a table. On an altar table, you know, and my daughter was to be the sacrifice when she was born, and that was the 21st of December.
So, in other words, you were on the altar in the nude, and you were penetrated and therefore conceived to bring about a child for sacrifice.
Yes, the winter solstice.
That's right.
And, well, I've been practicing witchcraft since then, but it's... been quiet, you know, of a more, I don't know, I've just felt so bad about all of this.
Did you witness yourself any other people being sacrificed?
You did?
Yes.
And were they children or adults?
No, they were babies.
Babies?
That were sacrificed.
And were the, was the blood drunk?
They were
drunk?
Like newborn. They were like 3 or 4 days old, never any older than that.
And did they drink the blood?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Thank God you don't.
You see, there's a lot. You see, I don't even remember any of my high school days. I don't remember. Of course, I don't remember any junior high or any elementary. I don't remember anything past a certain point. And I can tell you this. My folks, you know, they have a place in Oklahoma, and my father and mother, they're comfortable. My sisters all have great educations, BAs and associated arts and they work in making glasses and things like that. They're all successful. But me, I'm poor as a church mouse. I can't concentrate. I'm on SSI. My daughter was killed 6 years ago in a car accident, a single car accident. there wasn't a mark on her body?
In other words, you got her away from those who would have sacrificed her, and she died anyway.
Oh, you can't believe it. I've lost all my children but one. I've had four children, and they've all died. I had a son that was 6 weeks old, perfectly healthy, beautiful baby boy, got a fever.
All right, listen, I want you to hold on. Stay right there, all right? We'll be right back to you. We've got to pause here. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, and this is Rough Stuff.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Holding you is a warmth that I thought I could never find.
Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, everybody. We're talking about ritual blood sacrifice. You know, when I was in Los Angeles at this talk radio conference with Matt Drudge up on stage, somebody in the audience, I think, asked me if I've ever done anything on the show that scared me to the point where I could barely go on. And I said, oh, yeah, several times. This is one of those times.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 15th, 2001.
Dr. Evelyn Paglini, welcome back.
Thank you.
And here is this young lady with this incredible story, and we didn't have time to finish up. I don't know how you finish up with this kind of a story.
Well, like I was telling you, my son within 10 hours, he was dead, and the doctor said it was Waterhouse Feitherson syndrome. Now, I've never heard of that since, or I never heard of it before. And then my next daughter, her boyfriend, hung her.
Good God. I imagine then that you attribute all this to...
Yes, I do.
...that which you didn't quite escape fully.
Yes. Yes, I do. I've had other problems, too, because I've tried to call you several times, like when you were talking about the ghost, but I don't believe it's a ghost that's bothering me. I believe it's a demon. I don't know if it's the fear that I have in me. I've done tried to do some cleansing. I've used the sage. I'm just sitting here shaking like a leaf because it's not something I really like to talk about.
Evelyn, what does she do?
Well, first of all, if she believes that they are reaching out,
well, I know they
apparently are. That's what they're doing. What if she has some of the knowledge of the names of these people, I can design a ritual that will stop them in their tracks.
Yeah, I can't remember anything.
I would suggest you give me a call. I would like to talk to you personally, question you, and again, I will design something for you that will put a stop to it.
Okay. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Oh, hi, Eric. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's Wizard here from Winnipeg.
Yes.
I just want to throw in a couple words. I had some contention to the definition made regarding blood sacrifice being somehow a benefit to a god. There's really nothing to be gained as a god from the sacrifice of the innocent. It's only through...
Not God, sir. Nobody said anything about God.
Oh, I thought that she had said earlier that there were these sacrifices were made to the gods.
Let's talk about big G versus gods, plural.
Okay.
What's the difference?
Okay, well, the idea that some would have, hold the idea that to sacrifice someone innocent would somehow be an appeasement to their god.
It brings power, that's what
right,
she said.
Exactly. And that idea is only made through man's, which is a big God argument, really, the blood sacrifice thing. And it's done through man's inability to face elements of truth through our fears as ego. And I could give you a quick example of a sacrifice, but I don't. At the same time, I don't want to offend you, and that's part of the problem. Eh? It's real world situations. Like I'll give you a real world example, and I by all means don't mean to offend anybody. And it's certainly nothing like the fear that's already been presented. But an example would be, let's say, in Iraq, over a million people are denied medical treatment and they die, and their children. And it's through our fears to face our mistakes as mere mortals, as men who make mistakes, like particularly politically. Because as a god, you recognize the ignorance that we all suffer from at one level or another. As I say, it's through our fears to recognize that maybe we made a mistake denying medical treatment to people we claim are being repressed. Like, if they're being repressed, why would you attack them, right, or make them suffer any more hardships than they already go through? So it's being able to reason those and using reason and being of God or being of one of the universe has them as us. Like you say us, well, you're really including them. There's not really a them and us. It's
all
everyone's
right.
included. So those are the things, and those are the ego. That's when the ego gets away, because you think, well, am I telling Madeleine Albright she's not a nice person? Well, you know she isn't. She's a nice person.
All right,
she wants
sir. Hold it there. Hold it there. I'm not exactly sure where you were running. It got from the personal to the political to the world situation. Evelyn, I suppose to some degree there is that. I mean, there have been evil blood sacrifices made on national levels, haven't there?
Oh, absolutely. But I'm talking about those practitioners.
I know.
Okay, who are really calling down demons, and they are making sacrifices to them. Sacrifice, human sacrifice, is in every culture and in every religion. It's only since Christianity became civilized that we do not have blood sacrifices anymore, except in those other societies. But to contact a specific demon and to be able to gain the knowledge and the command of it, it is usually a blood sacrifice that is offered.
Gotcha. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Hello.
Hi, Evelyn. Hi, Art. I'm really thankful that I got on. I don't know what to talk about first, but I had a personal question about these fallen angels, like the fallen ones that Elizabeth Clare Prophet wrote about in The Origins of Evil, and the ones that came down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that they are among us in human form?
There are some that have been able to manifest in a body and walk the land, yes.
I believe that I know about them, and I've encountered them. And, I had a girlfriend that was ritually used, and she's had a really hard time with
it. In what way?
She was used ritually by, just like what the last lady said, she was so scared of them, and she was, I was always praying for her, and she was always praying for herself, you know. And so I do know about it. And also,
was she used to breed?
She wouldn't tell me specific. She believed that it wasn't good to talk about it, and I agree with her. But, you know, even the priests are using blood, even the ancient Hebrews, they were using blood. And before that, we know there was the blood of woman. But I don't want to talk about that. But I wanted to talk about the new children that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to talk about the mass conditioning that's going on in our population. And one of them is the immunizations that I want to see that they get avoided for our new children. Because before, we never inoculated children before the age of two. And in Europe, it's illegal to inoculate children before the age of two. And when you do that, you assault their spirit. You insult their spirit because they come impure. And they don't need that. And
do you agree with that, Evelyn?
Certain inoculations, absolutely, especially what is going on today. It is not a preventative measure.
Really? So you're insulting their spirits?
No, it's not so much you're insulting their spirits. You're impregnating them, okay, with a possibility of a virus.
Okay. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, this is Tristan. I'm calling from Houston.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I am a Wiccan of the Universal Wiccan variety. I had two things to mention, actually. I'm glad that Ms. Paglini differentiated between her particular branch and generic Wiccans out there, in that hers is slightly different. I wouldn't want to cause too much confusion there. We're basically pretty normal people. A lot of things can ritualistically be misunderstood if you were to, say, go into a Catholic mass or something like that and had no concept of what was going on. You know, a man in strange robes, blood in a chalice, eat this flesh, you know, blood. You know, it's very macabre. I grew up Catholic. I understand the Dr. Paglini grew up Catholic, too, and understands that, you know, this is symbolic and it's not bad or evil, of course. Most of my family still is Catholic, and I've, you know, no problems with that, but it
could be. The symbology still represents the body and the blood of a sacrificial lamb.
True. And to say that it's symbolic would get you excommunicated a while back. But the point is that if somebody went into that and completely didn't know what was going on, they would be extremely persecuted. But, you know, it's perspective.
Well, that's different, honey, than taking a child's life,
right,
draining the child's body of blood, and then dismembering it and eating it.
Right. Okay. As far as that goes, that's the second point I wanted to address. There was a book called Satanic Panic, and I forget the author's name, but you could probably do a search on it and find it. It's extremely good. It talks about how rumors get started, how they evolve psychologically, the want to believe in something malevolent or evil. It's the better safe than sorry psychological mechanism. There has been absolutely no factual, provable evidence of any of this at all, and people have done exhaustive studies on it. People continually, shows like Geraldo and things like that originally broke. A lot of these satanic kids are doing the satanic thing. Our government has infiltrated the cocaine cartels and organized crime, but can't seem to crack into a bunch of teenagers in the woods doing satanic rituals and breeding farms, which nobody has ever been able to factually document. I understand it's very sensational and it's very interesting.
All right, so in other words, you're saying you think it's a bunch of baloney, that there is no such thing as satanic breeding farms and so forth.
There was a woman who was
Is that correct? Is that
yes,
the bottom
yes.
line? Okay.
Bottom line, no
Evelyn, he's saying it's baloney.
Well, that's why I asked the people in your audience, who certainly were the witnesses and those who have escaped from it and lived through it, to call. It's not just me saying it.
Yeah, obviously, he didn't believe what the callers had to say.
He didn't live through it. Thank God he hasn't. I've witnessed it. I have counseled people and tried to put them back together. And like I said, they're out there and they are willing to step forward and tell you what they have witnessed.
All right. east of the Rockies. You're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Should I tell my story now?
I don't know. What's your story? Where are you?
I'm in Houston right now.
Okay.
And, like, almost every other weekend, I go to my friend's house and we smoke marijuana. Am I allowed to say that on the air?
Apparently you are.
All right.
Yes, so?
And, well, when we go there, he'll tell me these stories, like, because I've known him forever. He said that his parents, like, which are dead now, he never told me how, are, he said that they were involved in, like, some, like, cults and stuff and voodoo and everything. And, like, he said that something about him being what y'all are talking about, one of those childs for sacrifice. And, I mean, not just because he's high. I mean, like, before that, I'm just saying I go over there a lot just to smoke. But, I mean, before we get high, he'll talk about it and stuff. And, he's got a little, like, I don't know, a little token or something. Like, a little symbol token thing that his parents gave him. And it looks real weird. I don't know. Like one of those voodoo movies, you know. You still there?
Yes.
Yeah, we're listening and sort of waiting for you to tell us what... you say he was involved, his parents were involved, and he was a ritualistic victim?
Yeah, that he was going to be used as a sacrifice for...
And he got away.
Yeah, and he told me that it was because, like, his parents, when they found out they had to give him up, they took him and they moved away. He said they just moved away so that they wouldn't have to sacrifice their own kid. And
that story has been told over and over again.
Oh?
Yeah.
So that's not so unusual, Evelyn?
Not at all. There are many people that have been duped because they have joined an organization or in a society and they believe that this society is going to help enlighten them as well as possibly even do good work or charitable work. Later, as they go into the ranks and they go up to the levels and the different hierarchy of evil, they find that they have been duped and that they will ask for their offspring.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Paglini. Hello.
Hi. For me?
Yes, for you.
Okay, I was saying that I was wondering about the connection between possession and this type of stuff. I think where I get confused is I've had experiences my whole life with possession and what I now believe might be demons, or I don't know what to call them, ghosts or demons, but they seem often to be negative or evil. And I know that sometimes psychologists, sometimes just people in general who haven't ever had the experiences will either not believe or they'll attribute it to something else.
Well, what is happening to you?
What's been going on my whole life, or what was the latest thing, or
well,
in general?
I guess just we don't have a lot of time, so
okay,
make your point as best you can.
I think the thing that I don't like, the biggest problem of all is I don't like the possession. I don't like when they show up, and usually they present themselves in some form and take over. And it's very hard to fight them out.
Take you over.
Yes, I feel taken over. I usually hear a noise in the beginning. I hear some like a soft whirring noise that slowly turns into a low growl, and it sounds kind of human, but it also sounds sort of like an animal. And this is something that's been consistent my whole life. It's happened to me since I was little.
And then?
And then I feel it coming in, and sometimes I see it coming in the form of a beast or sometimes a person. And then I'm in a fight. Literally, it's like I'm half passed out or in almost like a dream state, but I'm not totally conscious. And sometimes I don't know how long I'm under. Sometimes I'll wake up the next morning, but I always wake up the same way. I feel like the blood's been sucked out of me, or like my breath has been I feel totally weak. I can't stand up for a long time. My whole body's shaking.
All right, we're so out of time. Evelyn, what might this young lady be facing?
She may indeed be facing low entity beings or demonic possession.
I just don't understand why me and everyone I talk to, nobody else seems to...
Evelyn, what does she do?
Again, because I need to have more insight, I would appreciate if she would give me a call and tell me what has been going on, and then we can create something that will at least alleviate or lessen the possession.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we'll give out the contact information. We're just out of time. There's nothing I can do about it. If you want to do it by email, she does have an email address. That is QEP, as in Question Evelyn Paglini, QEP at MSN.com. One more time, QEP at MSN.com. And I would like to say it has been a great pleasure, but actually a lot of it's been scary as hell, Evelyn.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Having you here was incredible. Till next we meet, Evelyn.
Good night, Art.
Good night. Good night, everybody.